I want to read for you today a passage from God's Word as recorded in Revelation chapter 4. Excuse me, Revelation chapter 3. It's one of the messages that the Lord Jesus sent to the churches that is recorded in Revelation 2 and 3. These were churches that existed in that day. They were actual churches. And there were messages from the Lord to each particular church outlining for them His observation of their condition. This one is written to the church of the Laodiceans. It's the last of the seven messages to the churches. Listen as I read this message from the Lord Jesus to these believers. It says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." The truths that are recorded for us here in this passage to the church of the Laodiceans carries for us some very vital truths about Christian life. And the truths that apply to that church apply to many believers and many churches of the Jesus Christ today. And I want us to examine these truths, to understand them and get a grasp of them, that we might apply these truths to our own lives, that we might see how God wants us to live as children of God. First, I want you to notice the comprehension of the Lord Jesus, the fact that the Lord Jesus knows all things. It's recorded for us here in verse number 15 of Revelation chapter 3. He said, "I know your works." And prior to that, it describes for us who it is that says, "I know your works." It's none other than the Lord Jesus himself. And he describes himself in this fashion. He says, "I am the Amen. I am the true and the living one. I am the eternal one." And then he says, "I'm the faithful and true witness." He's the witness that can be believed. We can trust him. He's reliable. He goes on to describe himself as the beginning of the creation of God. And what that phrase means is that he is declaring to us that he was the one who originated creation. We find as we read in the book of Colossians chapter 1, where Paul is recording for those believers the description of the Lord Jesus, and he describes for them that he is the one who created all things. So the Lord Jesus lays out who he is and gives us a glimpse into his nature and into who he is and the activities and the attributes of God that are displayed in the Lord Jesus. And then he says, "I know." The one who was the creator, the one who is the true and faithful witness, the one who is the Amen, "I know. I see, I perceive, I understand, I am aware of what's going on in your life." He knows our circumstances, those difficulties, those trials and tribulations that you face each day. He knows them. He's fully aware of them. He sees and He understands. He also is aware of the condition of our lives spiritually. He sees beyond the facade that everyone else sees. He looks beyond the reputation that we have with friends and family. And He sees to the heart. And that's on which He bases His judgments of us, is what He sees in the heart. And He looks to these believers and He writes to them a letter and He said, I know your works. I understand your circumstances, but I also know your works. You know, David, the psalmist, gave us a great insight and glimpse into this knowledge of the Lord. In Psalm 139, he writes about the extent of God's knowledge of us. And David writes it in this fashion. He says, you know when I sit down, you know when I get up. You know my thoughts, you know the intents of my heart. You know everything about me. And there is nowhere that I can go where I can escape your knowledge. You see, there's nothing that misses God's eye. All things are open to His sight, even to the very innermost being of our lives, to our soul and our spirit. He sees. And He knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And that is on the basis of how He judges us. He knows our hearts. Now notice, as this letter progresses, he moves from making known the fact that he understands us and knows our condition, that now he begins to voice his complaint. He begins to voice and give vent to those things that he condemns and criticizes in these believers. His objections, if you will. Notice there are several of them that he voices. First of all, he says in verse number 15, he says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. And then he follows it up in verse 16, he says, you're lukewarm. That word for hot is the word that we would use to describe something that is boiling, something that is extremely hot. And the word that is translated here for cold is one that we would describe as freezing. So there's the extremes there. There's the freezing cold. There's the boiling hot. And he says, you're neither one of them. You're in between. You're lukewarm. I wish you were either cold or hot, but you're neither. You're in between. You're lukewarm. Now, lukewarm can be a condition through which we are passing on our way to hot. Many of us have certainly put a pan of water on the stove to boil. And it's cold to begin with. And then it slowly gets warmer and warmer and warmer until finally it reaches the stage of boiling. Somewhere in there, the water was lukewarm, but it was on its way to being hot. That is not the description of these believers. These believers were not those on the way from cold to hot. They were, in fact, settled into their position. They had reached the position and level of mediocrity, of lukewarmness, and they stayed right there. They didn't progress any in their spiritual walk with the Lord. So the first judgment that he passes about their behavior and their conduct is this: you're lukewarm. You're not cold. You're not hot. And you're not on the way from cold to hot. You are sitting at lukewarm. And he said, I don't like things lukewarm. I will spew you out of my mouth because you are lukewarm. Could that describe your spiritual state today? Could it possibly be that you are neither cold nor hot? You have attained the level of mediocrity, of lukewarmness, and you just decided to stay right there? You haven't any desire to progress in your relationship with the Lord to where you would become, as described here, hot, a fervent follower of Jesus Christ? then my friend, you are in danger of the same judgment as these believers. He'll spew you out of his mouth. Nobody likes lukewarm water or any kind of a beverage that is lukewarm. We want it cold or we want it hot. And that's the condition of these believers. They were ready to be judged by God because they were lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. Now notice he gives to us another condemnation about their spiritual condition. He says in verse number 17, he says, you say you are rich. Oh, that insidious sin of pride. That so dangerous condition where we look at ourselves and we compare ourselves to others and we say, we are rich. And that's exactly what these believers did. They looked at themselves and they said, boy, we are really something. We are outstanding. We are rich. There was the dangerous sin of pride. And then notice what happened because of their pride. It says, we have need of nothing. There was that self-conceit that came in. We are self-sufficient. We don't need anything else. We have attained all that there is to reach. And we are just fine, thank you. We don't need any more. They said we have need of nothing. And then we noticed that because their sin had so blinded their eyes, they were in fact ignorant. They were blinded to their true condition. And the Lord Jesus said, you think you are so wonderful. You are so proud of yourselves. You say about yourself you don't need anything. Well, let me tell you your real condition. And then he begins to tell them their true condition. And he says, in reality, you are wretched. That word wretched in our English means miserable. Miserable. You're not happy. Down inside, you are miserable. And then he goes on to use a word, miserable, which seems like he's saying the same thing twice. Whereas the word wretched literally means miserable. And the word translated into the English as miserable, the second word, literally has a different meaning. And it means that they are pitiable. They are pitiable. They are in great need. Have you ever looked at someone and kind of squared your shoulders back a little bit and said, boy, I'm sure glad I'm not like them. And you pitied them because they didn't have some of the things in life that perhaps you have. That's how the Lord Jesus looked upon these believers. They were pitiable. And then he says, you're poor. You're not rich. Oh, you may be rich in outward possessions, but spiritually you are paupers. You are poor. Not only that, you are blind. The word here translated blind literally means opaque. It's like being nearsighted. They couldn't see clearly. They couldn't see through this fog that was in front of their eyes. They were blind. And then he says, you are naked. And along with your nakedness spiritually comes shame. Rather disturbing circumstance, wouldn't you say? Kind of a description that is not too beautiful, isn't it? They thought they were wonderful. They thought they had attained the level of great spiritual development. And the Lord Jesus saw their heart and said, you have attained lukewarm status and you have refused to move from that. You think you are just well and fine. When in reality you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked, spiritually speaking. That's their condition. That's the condemnation and the complaint that God through the Lord Jesus brings upon these believers. Does that describe you today, my friend? Oh, sadly, it describes many in the Church of Jesus Christ today. They know something of the Lord. Yes, they do. But they're neither hot nor cold. They haven't denied it, but they haven't really grasped it to where it fully becomes a fervent faith in their life. They have not denied the Lord, but they're not hot either. Does that describe you? Does that describe your spiritual condition before the Lord today? To where He would describe you literally then as wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked spiritually? Well, let's see how the Lord then moves on from this in His message to them. He then brings to them a word of correction. He identifies their problems and He points out their sin for them, and then He brings to them a word of correction. Here's His word of correction. His word of correction is this. Beginning in verse number 18, He says, I counsel of thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Now what's He talking about here? He's using a picture to describe a spiritual reality. When we look at gold that has been tried in the fire, what is true of that gold? Is it not the finest gold that there is? It is of the highest purity. It is of the greatest value. What the Lord Jesus is using here is a picture that they knew to point out a spiritual truth. He is saying to them, come to me and seek after that which is the very finest of spiritual realities. Come to me and seek after the gold that is tried in the fire. Come and seek after from me that spiritual walk that can only be compared to gold that is refined in the fire. That I might be rich, He said. In other words, this relationship, this fervent in spirit that you would seek after this relationship with the Lord Jesus would make you then rich, spiritually speaking. And then He moves on and says, not only do I counsel you to seek after the very finest of spiritual relationships with me, but I want you to seek after white raiment. Well, now, what is white raiment in the spiritual realm? That's the very clothing of the Lord Jesus Himself. The Scriptures tell us that the Lord Jesus clothes us with His righteousness. That we are to set off the old man and put on the new man which is renewed in righteousness. So that we have about us the very holiness of Christ Himself that covers us. You see, personal individual works do not cover. It is only the righteousness of Christ that covers the sin of man. And so the Lord Jesus encouraged them to seek after the very finest in relationship with Christ, to seek after His righteousness that would clothe them with white raiment. And then He says, anoint thine eyes with eye salve. This is a picture of seeking after the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. For the Holy Spirit is the one who is given the responsibility to open our eyes to see spiritual realities. We find that recorded for us very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It is the Spirit of God who reveals to us the hidden truths of God, the mysteries they're called, so that it's like putting on eye salve that we might be able to see. Seek after the work and ministry of the Spirit of God in your life, that He might pull away the clouds and open your eyes to see spiritual truth that only He can open your eyes to see and understand. Those are the words of correction that the Lord Jesus gives to these believers who were lukewarm. Now there's an interesting thing about this whole letter that is sent to the believers at Laodicea, and that's this. There wasn't one word of compliment in the whole letter. And it is the only letter of the seven letters that the Lord Jesus wrote that is of that fashion. Every other letter had some word of praise to the believers. This one had none. For you see, these people were not facing a threat from without. There was no one attacking them. Nor were they fighting a battle from within the congregation. Some kind of a doctrinal problem that they had difficulty facing. No, none of those. You see, it was simply the sin of the heart. It was their own individual lackadaisical attitude towards God that he condemned. And it was a spiritual condition that he decried and said, you are going to be judged for your sin. Now notice in verse number 19, he gives us a very interesting insight into his nature. For the Lord Jesus says this, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Isn't that interesting? Because in our world today, we have a tendency to say those who give some kind of judgment towards their children really don't love them. In fact, I've heard parents say, oh, I love my son, I love my daughter so much, I would never punish them. Then you really don't love your child. For if you loved them, you would correct them. For the living example of the Lord Jesus is true. He says, because I love you, I rebuke you. I point out your sin. I tell you your sin and I tell you the truth. I identify it because I love you. And then further he goes on to say, not only do I point out your sin because I love you, but I actually chasten you because I love you. He chastens his children and those who are his own because of his great love for them. So that there is the discipline of correction and the teaching of correction and chastening as a proof of love. And then he says, because that is true, repent. Be zealous and repent of your sin. Turn from your lukewarm attitude towards me and become hot. Turn from your sin of pride and self-sufficiency and self-satisfaction and realize that you need to buy gold that is refined in the fire. Realize that you need the eye salve of the Spirit of God in your life. Realize that you need the very righteousness of Jesus Christ to clothe you. Repent. Be zealous about it, he says. Make it your lifelong habit of repenting from your sin and turning unto God. Notice his last few words here. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is one of the most misunderstood verses in all of the Bible. For notice that this verse of Scripture is not given to the unbeliever. And yet that is its most frequent use today. This verse was given to believers. This verse was given to those who named the name of Christ. And he says unto them, if you will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and fellowship with you. You see, these believers had shut Christ out. Oh, they were believers. They trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they had excluded him from their living daily walk. And the Lord Jesus was saying, if you will let me in, we will have fellowship together. And it was given to believers, those who trust in Jesus Christ. He said to them, those of you who have shut me out, let me back in. Let me have fellowship with you. If you will open the door, I will come in and fellowship with you. It is possible for those who name the name of Christ to so exclude him from their life that they have no fellowship with him. And this was the very sin that he was attacking. That experience where they had excluded the Lord Jesus from their daily walk. And he was crying out to them, let me in, let me in, that we might have fellowship one with another. And then he says, to those of you who overcome, I will grant to you to sit with me in glory. The opportunity to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus is given to those who trust Him, to those who overcome in their daily walk with Him. Quite a startling letter, don't you think? It hits a number of areas in life. It hits a number of churches of Jesus Christ today. Perhaps it hits your life as a believer today. Where has the Spirit of God convicted you and identified areas in your life where you are just like these believers in Laodicea, lukewarm, neither hot nor cold? You haven't rejected God, but you aren't fervent in faith either. You're not fervent in your obedience and your walk with Christ. Your eyes are clouded. You don't really see your true spiritual condition because of your sin. I would urge you to heed the correcting message that the Lord Jesus gave these believers. Buy of the Lord Jesus gold that is refined in the fire. Experience His righteousness. Experience the work and ministry of the Spirit of God in your life, who would open your eyes to see spiritual truth. I pray that the Spirit of God will bring a spiritual transformation into your life today, that He will take these truths given to this early first century church and will apply them in your life today, that you might have a change that will radically turn you about, bringing you to repentance, to where you turn from your lukewarm attitude towards Christ to become fervent in faith and obedience. I pray that the Spirit of God will bring that change into your life today.